So I want to go ahead and welcome you one more time to church today. You heard from my wife, Nina, and our team, but my name's Hyde, and I'm the senior pastor here at Walk Church. And really, on behalf of our team, man, we're so grateful that you chose to join us today. It's an awesome day on this February Sunday to get to church and experience time together in worship. Amen? Amen. Come on, we can talk back a little bit. Amen just means, yeah, I agree. I feel you on that. So good. Well, we're in a series here that's called Relationships That Grow. Our word for the year is the word grow. And so we're talking about what does it look like to not just stay the same, to not plateau in your walk, in your faith, in your life, but how you can continue growing. I believe that the Lord desires for you to have your best season of growth. You as an individual, you in the vocation that you lead within, you in the things that you do, the things that you say, the relationships that you're in. What would it look like if everything just kept growing? Amen? And that's what we've been leaning into. And in this series, it's the month of February. And so I figured, hey, what better time to think about relationships than in this month? And that's what we're talking about throughout this time. Last week, I kicked it off with a message that I talked about growing your relationship with God first. Amen? The first relationship that must become the priority in your life is not a religion for God, but a relationship with God. I gave you this reality statement. I'll probably read it once at the beginning every sermon for the next few weeks, but here it is. Come on, read it with me off the screen. The primary calling on our lives is not religion for Jesus, rather a relationship with Jesus. So true. Jesus didn't save you just to employ you. He didn't die for your sins, rise from the grave, just so that you could do a job, just so that you could do a religion and have a checkbox and a report card at the end of your life. Jesus did all of that because he loves you. When he thinks about you, he gets excited. He wants a relationship with you. And in John chapter 1, it says, all who believed in his name and received him as Savior, he gave them the right to be children of God. Not only that, but he wants you to be part of his family. He calls you sons and daughters in the room today, those who have put their faith. So the primary calling in our lives is not to a religion. Our calling is to a relationship, amen? Yes, amen? And that's the relationship that I believe, if that grows, it informs every other relationship. Every other relationship will be affected by your primary calling of growing in your relationship with him. So if you got all that, say, I got it. With that said, if you're hungry, say, let's eat. Let's eat. Father, now as we prepare to eat from your word today, it is my prayer that you would feed us. As we just sang, shake up the ground of all our religion. Even break down the walls of all our tradition so that we can hear your voice clearly through the noise, through the distraction, through the chaos, through even our own issues with sin. God, would your voice be louder? God, would your grace be sweeter? God, would your Holy Spirit be clear with us? God, we want to hear your voice today. So Lord, speak through me and those who share on the stage today. God, we're listening. We're here for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So good. Thank you, Uncle Manu. I don't know about that Niner jacket. I'm just joking. I'm saying that for every team I see, all right? But their team's playing. And so we're talking about growing your relationship, relationships that grow. I want to preach on a topic that I think a lot of people in the room could relate to. And if you can't relate today, at some point you'll relate to this topic. And it's growing your relationship with work, growing your relationship with work. Come on, somebody say, let's work. Let's work. I believe that God has created us for the primary relationship with him that ultimately begins to get lived out in the context of where we live, where we work, where we play, the places that we frequent, the people that we hang with. And one of the key relationships in our life is the concept of work. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and very quickly, right off the jump, God gives them assignments. He gives them tasks. He gives them work. In fact, God created work before there was even sin. In other words, work is a good thing if you see it right. Work, in the context of the relationship that we're talking about, is something that could be redeemed, is something that could be good. In fact, it could be something that my prayer would be that would grow in your life. And that's what I want to talk about. How can you grow your relationship with work? And for the person in the room today that just like can't stand their job, this is a good word for you, amen? And all the parents, you can nudge your teenagers and say, you need to listen to this, right? Come on, right? Grow your relationship with work. I want to just give three thoughts, three quick bullet points on how you can do this, and then we're going to hear from some leaders who are in the room that are living this out in their respective fields. The first point is grow your relationship with work, but don't find your identity in it. Don't find your identity in it. Amen? I think it's important to remember that when you're growing your relationship with the occupation, the vocation, the work, the job that God has given you, to not find your identity in the work that you're doing. I'll give you this tagline. Each point will have a little bit of a commentary, a little tagline on it. Your job doesn't define you. Amen? Amen? Your job is something you do, but it's not something that defines you. I think it's interesting too, right? Because typically, what is that first conversation you have with somebody? You know, well, hopefully first we start with the name, but we could do better at that. Like, hi, my name is, right? And then hopefully you respond back, my name is, right? You get to, that's how you can grow your relationship. Use your name, right? Meet somebody. But then typically we go right into, so what do you do, right? And so quickly we are jumping into that conversation. I think it's a fine conversation. I think it's good to talk about work. It's good to talk about shared interest and passion. But I want to be clear here, your job doesn't define you. Here, let me give you a clarifying statement that I wrote down in my notes. I think it'll be helpful for you. Your work is what you do. Your identity is who you are. Your work is what you do. And to be honest, you could do something this year, you could do something different the next year. In fact, you could do something and then you could potentially get fired, but can I just tell you, you didn't lose you. Because what you do is what you do, it's not who you are. So two people were like, think that was right? I want to encourage you. If you put your identity in what you do, you will be up and down a lot.
Yes, that's right.
Especially in this past year where I've been able to build relationships with several different athletes. And so one day somebody could be on one team. The next week they could be on a different team or on no team. And you know what's so important? That you find your value in so many better ways than just what you do. Because you're not always going to do what you're doing now forever. But your identity is who you are. I would even ask you this question. Do you know who you are? Now, that's a good question to think through. Who am I? Well, can I just say, for the believer, for the Christian, you are so much more than what you do. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, if we can pull that verse up, I would even have us look at it. Just in this one verse, this is a mega verse right here. This is like a Super Bowl verse for the believer. Come on, let's read it off the screen. Ready, set, go. He predestined us. What does that mean? Just before you were even alive, God was thinking about you. That's a good reminder. Amen. It was your predestiny that God was saying, this is his heart for you. For us, come on, us for, keep reading with me, adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So I see this and I see that Before the foundations, before I was even birthed, the Lord had me on his heart. Amen. He chose me. He adopted me, not to a random family, but to himself. How? Through Christ. According to the purpose of his will. It was actually his God. It was God's delight to adopt you. It was God's choice to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could have a right relationship with himself. And I think that it's helpful to be reminded of who you are. You're a loved son. You're a loved daughter of King Jesus. When he thinks about you, he gets pumped up. And I need to continue to remind my heart, because too often I'm reminding myself of all the things I didn't do and all the ways that I blew it and all the ways he's upset and all the ways that he's disappointed. And then I just got to go ahead and remind myself of actually who am I? I'm a son. I'm a daughter. So even before you get to what you do, you're so much more. I read this quote from a pastor named Tim Keller. And Tim Keller writes extensively on the topic of work and faith. And Keller says, if our identity is in our work rather than Christ, success will go to our heads and failure will go to our hearts. If your identity is in what you do, one day you might think that you're the best thing since whatever you want to name it. Or if you say miss the mark, then you think you're the worst thing, right? And Jesus wanted you to have a much better balance. I was reading in Proverbs today, a false scale is an abomination to the Lord. And it's this thought that, like, hey, let's not live lives like this, right? We weren't meant to carry that. The primary calling on our life is not to do something for Jesus. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's who you are. Let me define the word identity. Give you two quick definitions for identity. The Oxford says, identity is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. It's who you are. It's what you are. Identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Can I tell you, do you know the thing that distinguishes you is not what you do? It's one of the things that distinguishes you. Your occupation, vocation is one of the things. But can I say the thing that distinguishes you the most is actually displayed for us in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Look at these two very profound scriptures on the screen. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. The triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's us. Met together and had a small group, a charge group, come on. An eternity passed. And they said, you know what? Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over the creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And so I believe these two, very important, the Imago Dei is what that is referring to. The Imago Dei teaches us that the distinguishing mark in our lives is that we're created in his image. Amen. That we're created in his likeness. I had this revelation hit me when I was in college, because I remember being on the campus of James Madison University playing college basketball, and I would very much say I found my identity in what I did. Hiding the Hooper. Come on. That was my name, right? That's what I did, right? I found my identity. That was my plan A, no plan B, right? And then I realized one day when I started to grow in my faith and I read a scripture like this and I was created in the image and likeness of God, I looked down and I noticed that my hands and my body and my life was not shaped in a round ball with little bumps all over it and in an orange with a black stripe on. I'm not created in the image of a basketball. I'm not created in the image of what I do. You're not created in the image of a cell phone. Come on. You're not created in the image of an email. You're not created in the image of whatever it is that you do. So you don't find your identity in that. You find your identity in who you are. You're created in the image and the likeness of God. So why can only God be the ultimate thing that fulfills? Why is it God that's the only one who, he's put eternity in your heart? Well, he's the only one that's eternal. Yeah. that it's only Him that can do the job. So if you're looking for anything else to actually be the solution for your joy, it won't be there because you weren't created in that image. Amen? Only God can fill that. Yes. Let me give you point number two. Don't find your identity in it, but do find purpose in it. I was thinking there might have been a little bit more of a thought or an amen, but I think that's because you guys really like point number one because y'all don't like your jobs, right? You're like, I don't find my identity in it. Well, hold on. Let me go ahead and say, but you can find purpose in it. I believe that God wants to use the work that we do for a purpose. You know, some of our language here at Walk Church, we'd say, what's a disciple? A disciple is someone who knows God. A disciple is someone who finds community. A disciple is someone who discovers purpose. And then a disciple is someone who makes a difference with the gifts God has given them. And that find purpose, discover purpose, is such a key piece to the Christian life. I want to encourage you to find purpose in your work, that God wants to use your job for a reason. Tagline for this: you're not there by accident. There's power in your placement. Even if you don't necessarily like what you do, you're still not there by accident. Even if you don't really like where you live, you're not there by accident. Depending on the posture you take into the situation will be dependent on what you get out of it. I was at a breakfast yesterday, and with a lot of things on my agenda, I had this thought for a second. All right, let me do this. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit, before I got out of the car and I was about to rush in, kind of paused me for a second and reminded me of all the divine appointments that I could walk past, or I could be open to, or I could be ready for. What type of mentality did you come in here with? What type of mentality did you show up on Monday morning with? Did you have a mentality that said, help me to make a difference today, God? Help me to figure out the purpose. Why am I here? Show me what the reason is, because I believe there's purpose. God, you're too purposeful to give me this job and it not be for a reason. Come on, right? God, you must have purpose. You must have purpose in this. And so I'm not here by accident. I'm here for a reason, and I'm going to do something with it. I love this verse from Proverbs 16. It's one of my favorite verses. It's a good verse to pray. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. God, I just commit this to you. I commit this work to you. I commit this album to you. I commit this book to you. I commit this. I'm about to show somebody a home. I'm a realtor. I commit this house. One of the things that I thought was neat was I met a barber who said, man, I started praying before cuts. Lord, I commit this cut to you. My bro Smitty, who's part of our church, who has a tattoo shop, Lord, I commit this next tat to you. I just give me the creativity. Give me the precision. Help me to do it right. There's purpose in your job. And I would even say whatever it is that you do. Colossians 3, verse 23. It's, I think, the first scripture I ever memorized is Colossians 3, 23. I remember, as I said, kind of early in my faith, someone gave me one of those little cards with this scripture on it, and it stuck with me. Here's what the verse says. Whatever you do, come on, somebody say whatever. Whatever you do, work heartily. As for the Lord, audience of one. Not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. Hey, don't find your identity in what you do, but find purpose in it. Yes. You're serving the Lord. Yes. Hey, can I tell you who's in it? The Lord's in it. That's right. And I really think one of the ways you can find purpose in your work is by just doing whatever you do really well. Yes. Listen to me. Come on, give me some eye contact. Church family, listen to me. The most Christian thing that you can do at some of your jobs is just to do it really well. If you are a coffee maker, make it well. Can I tell you, you know what the most Christian thing a pilot could do? Land the plane. Come on. I don't need you getting on the microphone and sharing the gospel. I mean, do that if you can, but just make sure you land the plane smoothly if possible. Come on, right? I like the surgeon who's about to cut Hopefully you prayed and read the word today, but make sure you just do that well. Come on. God uses the work of people to accomplish his mission. Like somebody probably ate something this morning, and can I just tell you that there was probably 5 or 6 different jobs that had to take place just to get that into your belly that we didn't really even think about where that came from, right? But God's using the work. He's even using unbelievers to accomplish his purpose to help you. Come on. There's value in your work. There's purpose in it. Amen. So try to show up and just say, God, help me to see the purpose in this. Let me give you the third and final point, and then we're going to hear from some different athletes here at our church today that are living this out. The third one is this: glorify God in it. Amen. Number one, don't find your identity in it. Your job doesn't define you. Praise God, he does. So good and bad, my identity is something greater. But friend, don't find your find purpose in it, because you're not there by accident. God wants to use it. Lastly, when you do both those things, right, you glorify God in it. Your job is there as a platform. Yes. Come on, God's given you a platform. He's given you a megaphone through your vocation for his glory. I love Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 7. Come on, read this off the screen. Ready, set, go. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God formed you. God made you for his glory. Amen. God positioned you. Yes. God platforms you, yes, for his glory. Yes. Ultimately, God is passionate. Charles Spurgeon calls God the glory hound, right? He is going to get his glory. He is passionate about us giving him the glory that he is due. And the good news of that is when God is glorified, oh friend, we are glad. When God gets the praise, we tend to feel like we were on purpose. We were created for his glory. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to go ahead and invite a couple guys up on the stage in just a moment that are here with me that I feel like are modeling and at least aiming for this target. I think when I look at all 3 points, we can put them up here on the screen. I don't know that anybody's hitting 100% on these. I know I'm not, but I know I have a guide. Lord, help me not to find my identity in this thing. Lord, help me to find purpose in it so that ultimately I can give you glory in it. And 2 of my brothers and friends that are here today is Miles Killebrew, a safety and special teams leader on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can you help me honor Miles Killebrew in the house today? And also my good brother, tight end for the New York Giants, Darren Waller's in the house today. And we're going to bring some stools on the stage, and I want to invite these 2 brothers to join me for a discussion on work and growing your relationship with God. Come on, help me invite them up and welcome them up to the stage here today. Hey, thanks, Pastor Wes. We got some stools for y'all. Sweet. There we go. Hey, give it up for Pastor Wes. I don't know about the Virginia Tech jersey, but no, I'm just playing. Man, what an honor it is to sit on up here with you guys and wrapped up an awesome season, and from New York to Pittsburgh to here in Las Vegas. It's an honor that you guys would take a moment and just join me here on the stage and really just talk about this topic. Miles, I know that one of your pastime hobbies has been kind of learning German. Could you greet us in German?
Yeah, guten Morgen.
Hey, I could do that. Good morning. Just to get a little more serious. Good morning. Mine wasn't as good. Sorry. But that's awesome, man. And Darren, man, grateful for you to be back from the East Coast. Made it back to Vegas, and honored that you're here as well. I don't know if you got another language, but you can maybe spit a verse for us now.
I got English, that's it.
That's right. So good. Man, I know that this is a topic we've talked about in different spaces, like being an NFL player, a lot of attention, a lot of people around, different voices, noises. You got coaches, you got social media. And it, so quickly that first point could become a reality where now you're getting your identity, you're getting your self-worth through what it is you do. I just wanted to kind of toss this. You just heard these three points. And just toss this as a topic. Maybe which one of those is really speaking to you today and how you can encourage us through what the Lord's showing you guys. Darren, want to start
really
with you?
Really all of them.
All of them, yeah, all three.
But I can start with identity for sure.
Please.
My relationship and just the timeline of my battle with my identity runs very deep from when I was very young.
Powerful.
And, you know, even now it's like you said, don't find your identity in work. 75 to 80% of my human interaction is I'm the football player. I'm the tight end, you know. So it takes so much more work to separate from that.
It takes work to do the work, yeah,
right.
To separate
and,
from
that. And from when I was a kid, I mean, I knew I was good at the game, but there were seasons where, you know, I rode the bench my first couple years of high school, and I was like the lowest rated recruit in my college recruiting class.
Wow.
And I got suspended from my college team twice, suspended in the NFL twice. And so there's all these ups and downs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started to identify myself with failure.
Yeah.
I was talking to a mentor of mine on Friday, and I was telling him about how me not wanting to, like, there's a time where I didn't want to have kids.
Yeah.
And it was because, like, I didn't want to have a younger version of me because I identify myself with failure so much.
Wow. Powerful.
And
deep.
And so that's something that I still fight too to this day because I had a lot of good, I've had some good seasons in the NFL. And the last couple of years, you know, being injured and not performing to the status that other people would expect me to, or I would expect myself to perform at. And it's easy to ride that roller coaster.
Totally.
And then I feel like the end product of riding that identity roller coaster is I project my insecurity onto God, and I feel Him looking at me with a lens through a lens of like I'm not performing enough.
Wow!
And so it's a fight.
I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but I'm grateful for you sharing that because I can, and I think that's a real word. Thank you for taking us deep into your journey in that sense, Miles. I know that you could probably double click on that and say amen as well. And you've kind of had your own unique challenge in this journey as well.
No doubt. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having us up here.
Yeah, honored. Praise God.
Come on. Thank you, Pastor Hayden.
Sorry, I just kind of jumped right in, but
no,
thank you for that.
Your wisdom is awesome, and it provides a light and insight for guys like us to hold on to. So I really do want to honor you
by
that.
Much love.
And
thank you, guys.
And second of all, I just want to rebuke in the name of Jesus any sense of failure that you feel, my brother, because no one in here looks at you and thinks failure. No one.
You better preach, bro.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. I'm serious. I rebuke that. There's no failure in our eyes, so we do not see that.
No, opposite.
But as you can see, this is something that NFL players, you know, we struggle with.
Yeah.
We struggle with this identity issue a lot. And, you know, I've actually spent time kind of contemplating, like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
Like, we always brag or we hear coaches talk about, man, this is a children's game that we get to play. This, you know, we're lucky. And and so I think, like, man, we've been playing since we were little kids.
Right.
You know, when I was in fifth grade, I was the four square champion of my school, right?
Shout out to four square.
But I'm
the tetherball champion.
Yeah. Another children's game, but
Time
I'm not up.
Up
here introducing myself as Miles Killebrew, four square champion of Goldfarb Elementary.
Hey.
Right? And that's because I wholeheartedly feel that if you throw enough money and criticism at anything, it's very easy to lose yourself to that thing.
That's facts.
And I know that that's something that's common. And to double click, as you said, your point, we have to find something else to attach ourselves to. And, you know, for us, it has to be the name of Jesus. That has to be the reason why we're doing
it. Solid rock.
Otherwise, we'll lose ourselves. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We will claim things over our lives that are simply untrue, like failure. That is so untrue.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good. Two P words that I want to maybe talk around for just a little bit. The first word is purpose. The second word is prayer. The second point that I was just preaching on was, hey, don't find your identity in it, but do find purpose in it. How have you guys been able, because what's neat is you just finished your eighth season, Miles. Darren, what season was this for you?
Eight as well.
It's eight as well. Eight and eight. And they say eight is the number of completion. Come on. And so it's got, God is in it. He's showing you guys things, and he's growing you through each season on multiple different teams and different coaches and teammates. How have you been able to still find purpose in your calling, purpose in your work?
Yeah, I think purpose and prayer go hand in hand for sure.
Good
because
word.
Me, in my natural heart's posture, with the way my career has gone and me stepping into a role of like, okay, like I'm really about to start getting the ball. I'm really about to start having opportunities. I can think that in some way my purpose is to accumulate or to accomplish or to perform at a high level, when really that's not the case.
Wow.
And it takes prayer for me to be reminded that my purpose is really just for me to show up and people can see God through me.
Right.
Through the way that I move,
wow.
Through the way that I treat people,
bro.
Through the way that I approach my work and do it well.
That's fire.
And so, and even in the situations like you see a lot
so
of guys
good,
where there was a season where, you know, 2019, 2020, and 2021 where I was on the field, there's a lot of production. And in 2022, it was a lot less and a little bit less opportunities, right? And so there's a natural entitlement that's there
right.
from 3 years of being the featured player in an offense. And it took prayer for me to realize like, okay, like I bring more to the table than just catching a rock.
Right.
Like, there's certain things that God has put into me that aren't tangible, that may not show up on a stat sheet, but that allow me to be effective.
So good,
and
man.
Allow me to be in purpose on a team, in a team environment, in relationships with people. So
right.
Prayer has helped me navigate all those seasons of
man.
Pro Bowl to, you know, IR to not really not really knowing my role, being traded, like through all those things. Prayer is what keeps me kind of in the middle.
Yeah, and man, so good. Let's thank the Lord for that right there. Thank you for your transparency in that. And I think that, again, these are things that in their vocation at the highest level are things that need to stay close. And also for the individual in the room that has your own calling and your own unique workplace, these translate. And what is prayer? Prayer is communicating with God.
Yes.
And I think it's not just in us talking, but it's also in the times of listening-based prayer. We're like, Lord, show me something.
Yes.
Or just help me stay calm in the chaos, right? And I love how you shared that. Talk about purpose for you, Miles, in this now eighth season. And how have you been able to find purpose in the work?
Sure. So for me, very similar, but I'm a special teamer. So I have a lot less glory associated with the things that I do, which is fine for me. I signed up for it. I love it.
Yeah.
But this year, I had a very interesting journey in such that this was probably the first year that I felt like I matured a little bit in my walk, and I realized that I can ask for things from God that I truly desire. I always kind of felt guilty for doing that. Like,
that's
you know,
real.
Like, can I ask God for this? Or does it have to be, you know, something directly involved with the church or, you know, something Christian like that I'm asking for? But then I had this realization from God that, you know, he created me like this. He created my passions, my desires.
So good.
And as long as it's not based in sin, you know, he wants to bless my work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, God, like I'm going to be bold with it. And I'm going to pray for, success, and we're going to be specific with it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to block punts this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's very specific to my line of work. And,
that's great.
And we did that. We did that at the beginning of the season. Pastor Hayden.
Let me share that real quick.
Please
can
do,
I,
please
I
do
mean,
that.
I get passionate about that, you know, that topic because Miles and I, we took a trip to California, this past summer where, we both were ministering at an FCA event, and it was really a special time. Right before the evening started, we were just in the back and around a few other leaders, and Miles was getting ready for this season and just sharing about the skill and the artistry of blocking a punt in an NFL game and the work it takes and the value of that and just how powerful it would be to do that in this upcoming season. So I just said, hey, well, could we just stop and just pray for that right now? And just ask the Lord to just make a way. And he would do his part in doing the work, But that God would hear this prayer right now. And we just laid hands on Miles and prayed for block punts. Come on.
Which was strange for me. I'm like, are we really going to like ask God for a block punt?
Hey,
like, there's a lot of things. There's, you know, hunger. There's, yeah, you know, and I was like.
In James chapter 4, it says, you have not. Come on.
Because
you ask not. And so, yeah, I thought. But can I tell you, when I got this little ESPN on my phone, it says, Killebrew from the Steelers blocks a punt.
Wow.
I was praise dancing.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I didn't attribute the glory to you. You know, I
exactly.
said, you know, the Lord is in it.
He is.
I think that's a good word to not find your identity in your work, but pray for your work. Yeah. One of the ways you can find purpose in your work is by praying for it. And that was a cool moment right there, man.
It was awesome. And he gets all the glory. I just want to share something really quick. I was at an event this week, and we got to hear Vernon Davis speak to, you know, some of the players. Longtime vet, accomplished investor. He was talking about money. And he said one mistake he used to make in his career, first like 8 years, was he would promote things that he wasn't invested in. He would promote companies, Under Armour, whatever, and he had no ownership in it.
Wow.
And now he only promotes things that he's invested in. And it really got me thinking. It's been tugging on my heart. And I've just been considering, like, man, how much am I laying at the feet of Christ? You know, am I investing my relationships? Like, am I giving them up to Christ? Am I giving my job up to Christ? Am I giving my work up to Christ? And if I am, then it becomes a whole lot easier to promote. And it becomes easier to say, hey,
that's so good,
I blocked this punt, but I know I prayed for this.
Yeah.
And I know that I did the work, but I did the work unto the Lord. And so it
committed.
Becomes really easy to say, God did this for me. And now I have a wider range to speak to people. I get invited to a Pro Bowl as a special team. I didn't even know I could do that. And now I get to talk to people about Christ because of that.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you, whoever you are, to give your work to Christ. And I know that that's what my brother does here. I know that that's what obviously Pastor Hayden does, and God gets the glory.
Amen. Amen. So good. That's awesome, man. Grateful to hear that. And it's been a journey. It's been fun following your guys' careers. And I also know that Darren, you're somebody who has multi different passions. You know, one of the things that you're tapping into in this season is the music space. And I love when you're working on beats and just bringing classics and putting the hip hop feel to different things. And how have you even been able to work that gift in the context of rap, music, spoken word, et cetera, in this next season as well?
I realized how much of a gift that God had given me when I was younger. You know, my parents had us, me and my sister, playing piano very early on.
Nice.
Got a lot of joy out of like being in band in middle school, and just, I don't know, an ear I had for music. And when I create, I know it makes me feel like that child again. Because a lot of the times, like in my work, you know, it's hard on your body, it's hard on your mind, it's difficult on your emotions, and you give a lot to it. And I appreciate everything that the game has done for me and is still doing for me. But there's something about opening that laptop, something about writing an idea, something about God planting an idea in my mind and in my heart, and executing it and seeing it come into fruition, that just lights me up like nothing else. So
come on, man.
Just grateful for that gift and just to be able to just walk in the process of it.
That's good, man. That's why I wanted to even ask that question, amen, just because I think the gifts are layered. The don't find your identity in it. Whether the streams and the views are up or not, but the fact that you found purpose in it.
Yes.
And you said, oh, God, I love that. You gave me an idea. I just want to go ahead and sow into that idea and go for it. And I think those three things could be something for you to remember if you want your relationship with work to grow. It's not who you are, it's what you do. But there is purpose in what you do, especially when you attach God's glory to it. One of my favorite quotes is from a pastor named John Piper. You've probably heard me quote this before, but let me do it again. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And so I want to just continue to remind you to continue to find your satisfaction. What makes you the most, man, I feel satisfied, is when God gets the most amount of glory from you. It's when you can say, God, I'm content with however this goes, the ups and downs and all around. God, I'm content in you. God gets glory in that, and we feel satisfied in that. Amen. When it's not your job that's determining your joy, but it's Him. Can I just tell you, God is for your joy.
Yeah.
Amen. Have you seen that, brothers? I know I've continued to learn that in my season. And so, hey, would you just take a moment now and let's just stretch a hand to these brothers. Let's pray for them that God would continue to maximize their gifting in this next season, that He would speak clearly to them and speak clearly through them in all that they do, say, and think. Come on, let's pray. Father, I just pray for Darren. I pray for Miles. God, I thank you that they're here today and they're growing. Just like our word, they're growing. God, I thank you for their families. I thank you for both of their dads being here today, supporting them and loving on them through this. And God, thank you that you're here today. So Lord Jesus, I just touch and agree with Miles. I touch and agree with Darren. And God, I just pray that you would continue to just fill their hearts with joy, passion, purpose. God, protect them, strengthen them. As Miles just said, God, I pray that their investment in the things of you, God, would only grow. And that, God, their passion would only be more contagious to those around them. God, I know that the enemy is real and he would love to trip them up. God, protect them from evil. Lead them not into temptation. Deliver them from things that may be on their back right now. And just like my brother Darren said, God, help him to see you through the right lens, the lens of Father, the lens of pleased. He's pleased with you through your faith in him. So God, thank you for these brothers and the platform that they shared from today. And help it to grow all the more for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.